1620. Welcome to Let's Go Pensacola. I am your host, Julio Diaz. Hope you are having a great day today, whether you're listening live here on Saturday afternoon on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620, or you're listening to the show wherever you get your podcasts, whenever you get your podcasts, however you get your podcasts, whoever you get your podcasts from, whatever you use to listen to your podcast. I think I hit all the interrogatives there. You can do that certainly anytime you want to, and you can go back and listen to past episodes of this program as well. We'd love to hear from you. We do look at the podcast traffic to kind of decide what we talk about. So that's a good way to kind of steer us if you don't want to just email us, which you can do too at gopensacola@gmail.com. We'd be always happy to hear from you, always happy to hear from listeners, and hope that you're enjoying the show. Hope we're making your day a little bit brighter. We're going to bring you up to date on everything that's going on in entertainment and pop culture. And I'm going to shut up now and say hello to our co-host, Jeremy Branch. Hey, Jeremy.
So if I can kind of unpack what you just now said without being too explicit about it, you're saying that if people want us to kind of talk about a certain topic, maybe the best way of doing that is to put the podcast on autoplay and just listen to it on repeat in the background.
I mean, that wouldn't hurt. And I'll be blunt, we don't make any extra money off of that or anything like that. The podcast is not advertiser supported or anything like that. So, it's not like I'm saying that for the purposes of making us tons of money. Cause as I may have mentioned before, Jeremy and I aren't making any money on this, but just to know you're out there, it means something to know that somebody's listening and they care what we're talking about, whether they're listening on the air or on the podcast. But 100%. The only indication we have, barring somebody, coming up to one of us or emailing or, something like that, of who's listening and what they're enjoying is if, people tell us. So the only other indication is looking at how many times the podcast was downloaded. And, by that we can look at, we did a show a couple of weeks ago about how Disney is getting in bed with AI and, that sort of thing. And like a kind of a tech entertainment news thing. And you guys didn't listen to that. So apparently you don't care about that topic.
I don't mean to sound like a diva or anything, but if you do approach me in public, I'm a little bit skittish, a little bit jumpy. So if you'll do so slowly, with your eyes at the ground, don't make direct eye contact with me right away because I get a little squirrely.
With Jeremy, it helps if you have a treat, like give him a donut, something yes. like that. That would help. But we looked at that and we say, okay, people didn't like that so much. On the other hand, a lot of times when we talk about horror, people have really liked that, so we've tried to talk a little bit more about horror here and there. We've got some things that we're going to talk about. It also does depend on what's going on in the world, because this is still, things currently happening in entertainment shows. So, if there's not any big, like this week, there's not any big horror news, so we're not going to be talking about horror. But if there was, we would seize on that and take advantage, because the audience has shown us, based on their podcast listening trends, for lack of a better term, that they like when we talk about horror, which is cool because we like talking about horror too. But we can't talk about horror every single week. We're not a dedicated horror podcast. This is not a dedicated horror show. It is an entertainment show. We do, with the radio station, obviously we're trying to appeal to a general audience. So we're going to talk about things that are hot right now, as long as they interest us. And, I'm sorry, we're not going to start talking about, I'm just pulling something out of a hat here. I'm not casting any aspersions on any particular show or movie or anything like that. But maybe a lot of people watch NCIS, but it's not our bag. Mm-hmm. So we're probably not going to start talking about, there was an interesting NCIS story than the last couple of weeks that just reminded me of is that, the NCIS fans apparently paid for a billboard in Times Square during the New Year's Eve ball drop, trying to save the Tony and Ziva spinoff. So,
oh, that's cool.
Yeah, so that was kind of, you know, that was kind of interesting because, you know, that was aired on the very network that canceled the show. So I thought that was kind of cool, but that's the sum of my knowledge about what's current on NCIS. You know, I don't watch the show, can't speak about it from any, you know, great position of authority. So, you know, it's probably not something we're going to talk about. The other hand, if I get 500 emails in saying, hey, we love the show, we want to hear you talk about NCIS, I'll fire up whatever streaming service, I'm guessing it's Paramount Plus, and start watching some NCIS and talk to you guys about it. I'm not above it. So,
and there you have it, folks, a 10-minute discussion about what we're not going to talk about.
But this show is here for you is what I'm saying, though. It's not that I'm saying what we're not going to talk about. It's that it's saying I want to know what you want us to talk about.
Yes.
You know, and right now our only real gauge of that is by judging how many people listen to the podcast. So, you know, if you'd like to have us to have a more direct gauge, you need to directly engage.
Absolutely.
And speaking of engage, and I did not plan this. I swear this just came up to me off the top of my head. But we're getting ready to engage with Star Trek The Next Generation, as Captain Picard would say, engage. Here in Pensacola, we're very excited that we're able to announce on Friday that Will Wheaton is coming to PensaCon in February 20th through 22nd in downtown Pensacola. And just, you know, really excited to have him here. Of course, you know, Wesley Crusher on Star Trek The Next Generation, but also I think his first really iconic role is probably Gordy in Stand By Me.
Absolutely.
And then a lot of people know him primarily for playing himself on The Big Bang Theory.
And if I may, about Will Wheaton, mm-hmm. He was one of the first kind of spearheading the nerd movement, I feel like, in some ways. And maybe I'm overstating it, but I feel like he was one of the kind of pop culture fandom characters that really embraced being a cultural nerd, or however you want to identify him. But he let his freak flag fly, and a lot of people talk about In Search of Darkness, but if you haven't seen In Search of Tomorrow, check that out.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, a lot of other stuff. I mean, you know, his blog is, I think, kind of what reestablished him as kind of a king of the geeks, for lack of a better term. Mm-hmm. And he's gone on to do a lot of other stuff. I mean, I think the audiobook for Ready Player One, I think, was a big one, too. You know, he narrated that audiobook, and it has been recognized as one of the best marriages of narrator and author in the history of audiobooks. So, yeah, I mean, you know, that's a big one. He's narrated a lot of other audiobooks. He's done things like his tabletop show, which is his tabletop gaming show, which really mm-hmm. kind of helped reinvigorate interest in board games in the U.S. too. So, you know, the guy's done a lot. We're really excited to have him. He's been a much requested guest for a long time. He's kind of one of the last few Star Trek Next Generation bridge crew that we haven't had at the show. There's a couple others, but we are unlikely to probably ever get Patrick Stewart. He just doesn't do a whole lot of them, and is talking about retirement. So I think I think we're going to talk about what might be his last movie a little later in the show, actually. But again, very excited to have Will coming to Pensacola for PensaCon. Again, PensaCon's coming up February 20th through 22nd. Passes are available now at pensacon.com. And get them while you can, because it's going to be popular. And I will say this, speaking as somebody who is part of the executive staff of PensaCon, we're not done yet, guys. Nope. I can tell you for a fact, we have another big announcement coming up on Monday. So make sure you're checking out social media, and hopefully it'll be in the mainstream media too, because obviously we'll send out a press release. But check out PensaCon social media on Monday morning, because we have a big announcement of a couple stars of a show that's celebrating its 25th anniversary in 2026. I'm going to leave it at that. We'll be back with more in just a moment. You're listening to Let's Go Pensacola on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
and swing. Though nothing, nothing will keep us together. We can beat them forever and ever. Oh, we can be heroes just for one day.
Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Welcome back to Let's Go Pensacola. I am your host, Julio Diaz. Got our co-host, Jeremy Branch, on with us. And there's never an inappropriate time to play David Bowie, first
Agreed.
Of all. Let's just say that, first of all. Massive Bowie fan. This week was Bowie's birthday and also the anniversary of his death. He actually passed on the same week he was born. So got that little symmetry going on. So another reason to remember Bowie, but another great reason to play that song is because it was the last song played over the end credits in the final episode. And yes, it was the final episode of Stranger Things. Now, we devoted the whole show last week to Stranger Things, but over the course of the last week since that final episode dropped, there's been some buzz and some reactions and things like that. And we wanted to kind of address some of that and just kind of put a bow on our time in Hawkins, Indiana. To start with, Jeremy, as I kind of alluded to, there became this fan theory that went around this week. Maybe you can explain this to me. What is Conspiracy Gate?
So it was actually Conformity Gate.
Oh, Conformity Gate. I'm sorry. You're right. Conformity Gate.
What the implication was is that when Mike got Vecna'd, everything that we saw after that point in the series means that we, as the audience, were also Vecna'd, as Mike was the POV character, at least, in the beginning. So they were... A group of very over-invested fans began coping, trying to justify why the finale didn't quite land for them in the way that they had hoped it would. So they started combing through the season and the series as a whole to find patterns that didn't exist to justify why actually on the 7th of January there was going to be a real finale that was released after the actual finale.
Okay. So it's the Snyderverse for Stranger Things.
Yeah, that's actually a really good way of putting it.
It's the release the Snyder cut for Stranger Things fans. But that there was no Snyder, it didn't exist. It was something they made up in their heads.
Kind of like the Snyder cut.
Just like people making up in their heads that Will and Mike were going to become lovers.
It's
fan head canon and being disappointed that fan head canon doesn't match what was actually produced.
I think that speaks to over invested fandom, mm-hmm. which I do think is something that we could unpack. And there's another phenomenon that we could probably unpack in this little segment regarding the second screening phenomenon and how that has affected the way that films are being produced.
Yeah, I think they're two sides of the same coin, and I think it becomes a little bit of a snake eating its own tail in some ways.
Sure.
Because to address what you're bringing up, this is something that's known out there in the world, that Netflix has gone to their writing staffs and said, we want these shows to be, to an extent, over-explained to the audience. We want the dialogue and the action on screen to be able to be followed even if you're not paying complete attention to the show, because they know a lot of people have it on in the background while they're scrolling on their phone, they're playing Candy Crush, they're, you know, shopping on Amazon, whatever they're doing. And then, you know, it becomes this not understanding what happened because they weren't paying attention. And this is something I've kind of railed against for a while now. I think that was a big part of, while I agree that the ending of Game of Thrones was rushed, I think people thinking that Danny making what they considered a heel turn out of nowhere was a result of, in part, them not paying attention. That had been foreshadowed and alluded to and coming and coming and coming for seasons. Now, did it happen quicker than maybe it should have? I could see maybe that argument. But that's not the argument that was being made. They meant, what happened? This just was out of nowhere. Danny was the hero. You weren't paying attention.
So to maybe clear up my position on this a little bit, I certainly acknowledge that this is something that has become more prevalent, and that is mandates coming down from the top. However, 10 years ago, or whenever Stranger Things began, it was a significantly different show in that they didn't have to approach writing that way. You know, the Game of Thrones thing, I know we've talked ad nauseum about that, but specifically related to Stranger Things, if the show didn't used to hold our hand and used to trust that we were actually invested, as many of us were, I fall more into the camp of over-invested fan than I do the second screen camp where I actually was watching Stranger Things while I was doing something else, because that was never me.
Yeah, well, it wasn't me either, but I mean, it definitely is other people. And that's why they've got this mandate for all, not just for Stranger Things, for all of their shows.
Right.
And I there was a great video this past week by Colton Ogburn on YouTube, who was talking about this phenomenon and how it's hurting creativity and it's hurting shows and it's causing things to drag and it's ruining pacing. And he's not wrong. You know, it having to being required to spoon feed the audience is somewhat stifling. However, when we see that people are not understanding what's going on in the show, even with this, and don't the places where the audience is left to breathe and draw their own conclusions, such as in the case of Stranger Things, and I'll put up a spoiler warning here for the finale. We're going to talk about some details, so if you haven't watched the finale yet, beware. People harping on the fact that there was no explanation of what happened with the military at the end with that 18-month time jump. They didn't go into detail about how they didn't end up in Guantanamo Bay, which wasn't even a thing then, but you know what I mean. People upset that there weren't like hordes of Demogorgons attacking at the end of the big climax while they were all facing the big giant mind flayer. Things like that. Things that if you've paid attention to the show and you know what's going on in the show, you can probably put together in your head pretty quickly. Like I can come up with, I literally came up with a headcanon for the Demogorgon thing in 2 seconds. You know, Will had control of the hive mind. Boom. That's why. There you go.
Go ahead.
The military, you know, keep in mind, this is 1987. We're in the middle of the huge Iran-Contra scandal going on. Do you really think the government wants another big scandal on its hand and this one on home soil where they've been kidnapping pregnant women and subjecting them to experiments and, you know, shooting at children and, you know, taking over an entire town? How many witnesses were there to that? Everybody there plus more? You really think they wouldn't just want that to quietly go away?
I think there are two types of overinvested fans. There are the type who are hypercritical, which I probably fall into that camp. And then there are the type who are willing to forgive everything that happens in favor of just enjoying what's given to them. And I don't think there's a right or a wrong way to come down on it. As you and I talked about, there were definitely bad faith people that inserted themselves into the conversation and they weren't really fans of the show. But to me, as the precedent set by Stranger Things, it would make a lot more sense for the military to just execute every single one of them and pretend as if none of this ever happened than it would to be leaving the loose ends of allowing these people to potentially share their stories.
They can't execute the whole town.
Adjustment could have fixed that.
They can't execute the whole town. They just can't.
No, but no, and that's what it would become. The whole town knew.
Enough people were in the loop that it would have been, how did all of, you know, how did everybody that from that group just disappear? It would be a thing.
How do we keep everybody in that town quiet?
And with the Demogorgons attacking, and regular people witness that. You're also talking about these 12 innocent kids that were kidnapped, that were part of that group of people that were there. So then there's 12 sets of parents that are, what happened to my kid?
I think it's problematic either way. What I thought would have been interesting is after Vecna revealed himself in the military base and ended up wiping out so many of the people, Linda Hamilton would have realized there's a bigger threat that we have to address. And she would have teamed up with them, and they could have done battle with the Demobats and the Demogorgons while the core cast went after Vecna. And then maybe after that, we get the double turn where the military does actually say, now that we've got that out of the way, let's go ahead and deal with the 11 situation. And then they could have just come up with some simple catalyst to why they just decided to let bygones be bygones.
Well, I mean, but that's what the ending gave us. 11 took herself out, as far as anybody knows. And that's it. Like, everything that they wanted is gone. Everything the military wanted is gone. So what's to be gained by prolonging it?
It just would have made a lot more sense for the military, who couldn't stop four Demogorgons, to putting their full force against this horde that has been established in not just the Upside Down, but then later the Abyss, as a way to give them something to actually do instead of not paying it off.
But that's just it. What you're missing there, Jeremy, is that's not what the military wanted. The military wanted the Demogorgons as weapons.
Yeah, but
they didn't want to destroy them. They wanted to
merge the worlds.
But they didn't know that.
They did, because they found the plans.
Yeah, I guess. But, I mean, you're talking about having the time to analyze them in a very, very short time.
I think what's happening is my cope is to revise and your cope is to accept.
That's fair. We're running out of time on the segment, guys, and we don't want to devote another whole show to Stranger Things, so we're going to leave it there. Back with more in just a moment. You're listening to Let's Go Pensacola on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Thank you for coming home. Sorry that the chairs are all warm. I left them here, I could have sworn. These are my salad days, slowly being eaten away. Just another play for today. Oh, but I'm proud of you, but I'm proud of you. Nothing left to make me feel small.
Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Welcome back to Let's Go Pensacola. I am your host, Julio Diaz. My co-host, Jeremy Branch, is on the line with me. And we're going to move on now. We're getting into the gold season, Jeremy. The award season is in full swing. We just had the Critics' Choice Awards last weekend. We've got the Golden Globes coming up on Sunday. Last week, we've seen the Directors Guild and the Screen Actors Guild drop their nominations. The long lists for the BAFTA awards have come out this week, and we're just around the corner from the Oscar nominations.
If I may, shout out to my friend Sean Chandler and Cody Leach, who were actually in attendance at the Critics' Choice Awards. They're a couple of YouTubers that kind of started at the same time I did, and their careers just took off. But that's incredible to see.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah, shout out to them. That's cool. We're not going to get into like the particulars of all of the different award shows and nominations and all that kind of stuff. We don't have time for that. And we're going to have more chances to discuss all of that in the near future. But what I'm seeing here emerging, the trends that I'm seeing emerging so far, and you tell me what you think here, Jeremy. Seems like the there'll be other things that get mentioned, and there'll be, you know, maybe this person sneaks in here or there. You know, I know there's a lot of interest, that a lot of surprise that Jacob Elordi won at the Critics' Choice Awards for Frankenstein.
Mm-hmm.
That's fine, but like from an overall the films to watch standpoint, what it seems like what seems to be emerging is there's four or five films that really are the center of the conversation. And I would say that those are One Battle After Another, which seems to right now be the front runner for a lot of things. Sinners, which again is the movie we've been talking about for almost a full year now. And I won't belabor the point of how great that is, but how great is it?
That's fantastic.
We're hearing a lot about Frankenstein, the Guillermo del Toro adaptation of the Mary Shelley classic, which you can watch right now on your Netflix at home if you so desire. Hearing a lot about Marty Supreme, which is in theaters right now and is playing locally here in Pensacola. So you can go to your local AMC and check that out right now. That's the Timothée Chalamet ping pong movie. And then I feel like one of them just went out of my head. There's been five.
Was it Hamnet?
Yeah, Hamnet has definitely been in that conversation for sure.
You probably had a better one than that.
That is the one I was thinking of because in my head was I've seen three of these, and Frankenstein and Marty Supreme are my I need to catch up movies.
Okay.
And I have seen Hamnet. I just am not as bowled over with Hamnet as a lot of people are. Like it's a very well made movie, and the performances are incredible. It's a hard movie to watch, and it's a hard movie for me to get enthusiastic about. Does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely. And I want to tell the listeners that both you and I have been kind of working on our preliminary top 10 lists. What I like that Julio does, and you guys probably aren't aware of this, but as Julio watches movies throughout the year, he revises and adds them all to his ranked list of movies. And I don't do it exactly that way. It's like as it gets towards the 10, the end of the year, I start to think about which 10 movies did I like best. I don't like to be the person that lets these nominations kind of poison the well or make me conform to the general consensus. However, I also find it really important to watch those movies because there's a reason why people are discussing them. So I'm kind of hedging my bets right now to make sure that I catch at least a couple of these movies so that when I do create my top 10, it's honest and authentic, reflects my personal preference, but then also hopefully doesn't conform. The funny thing about that is it looks like the front runners are several movies that are on my list anyways.
Yeah, I mean, that worked out. You know, I really enjoyed both Sinners and One Battle After Another. And I think those seem to be the two that are most poised to take home some gold, for lack of a better term. So, yeah, that's pleasant. Like I said, for me right now, I feel like the two that I've got to most catch up on are probably Frankenstein, which I actually can't believe I haven't seen yet because I'm a massive Guillermo del Toro fan and I'm a massive horror fan. I'm a Frankenstein fan. I just need to carve out a couple hours to sit in front of the Netflix and watch it is what it boils down to. It's not like I even have the excuse of...
I'm a little surprised. That one doesn't resonate with me in the same way that several of his other films have.
You've seen it already or... You've seen it already or no?
Yeah, I've seen it.
Yeah,
and Jacob Elordi winning the Critics' Choice Award for Best Performance is a choice.
Well,
he's fantastic in it. Just not that kind of role.
I will be fair. I've heard, you know, mixed reports on this from regular people that I know that have seen it, not critics. Critics reviews are overall pretty positive. I've got some friends that are big film buffs and some of them love it and some of them hate it. So I think that can be true of Del Toro a lot.
Yeah.
Which I am solidly in the love camp. I can't think of anything I've seen him do where I didn't at least like it a whole lot.
Pan's Labyrinth is one of my all-time favorites.
And you know, that's one of the few I haven't seen.
Oh, it's so good.
I own a copy. I just haven't sat down and watched it.
Well, instead of watching Frankenstein, no, I'm just kidding. I guess check them out. But
well, you know, that's the thing. It gets you get caught up in this. I got to watch all this current stuff, and you it's harder to make time to go back to something.
Yes.
And that's definitely a challenge for me with, you know, my time being so limited right now, with Pensacon just 6 weeks away. If I'm going to make time for anything, it's kind of got to be something current so that we can have it to talk about with everything that's going on with for this show and everything that's going on. And, you know, I've got to keep up on what's happening in pop culture right now. And Pan's Labyrinth, I'm sure, is amazing.
Begonia.
I did. I saw that when it came out theatrically. Yeah.
And I think both of us have, you know, varying degrees of appreciation for that one. But, you know, Yorgos Lanthimos, when he makes a movie, it seems the Academy pays attention.
I like him as a filmmaker, even though this one didn't really hit home with me.
Sure. Yeah, I think that's fair.
And I have a feeling that while it's going to get a lot of nominations, I don't think it's going to get a lot of wins.
And hopefully you and I will both have seen Marty Supreme, because I have a feeling that one might crack my top 10.
Do you think this is Timmy C's year?
It feels like it. It feels like he's been poised for it for a while, and I think this might be the opportunity to give him his award.
I mean, I kind of would have liked to have seen him get it for playing Bob Dylan, because he did such a great job last year.
Yeah, I heard. I hadn't seen that either.
Yeah, no, Complete Unknown was really great. I'm sure this is too. My question is, if not him, then who? Like, it seems like, obviously, Leo's in the conversation.
Michael B. Jordan plays pretty incredible dual roles. And another thing that that kind of rose to the surface this year is how many actors there were playing dual roles in movies this year specifically. It's absolutely insane.
So I saw a clip where Viola Davis was interviewing Michael B. Jordan. And it was one of these, you know, panels that were being done for your consideration kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
She pointed out something that I hadn't considered and made him acknowledge it. He didn't play a dual role. He played a triple role.
Explain.
Because the vampire is a different person.
Sure. I can take that.
I mean, it is, you know, there are things that he does as a vampire that he would not have done as a human. He never would have turned on his brother. Never.
Yeah, I feel like there's maybe an id versus ego versus super ego conversation.
Oh,
to be
yeah,
had.
Absolutely.
But to your point, the hive mind aspect of vampires means he actually was bringing in a whole culture into himself by joining them.
Yeah, so I think it's fair to say that it's subtle, but that it's actually a triple performance and not just a dual role.
That's interesting. Yeah, I like that.
And I think, I mean, like, if you're asking me who I'd give the award to out of everything that I've seen, yeah, no question whatsoever. Do I think it's his year? I don't know, because I think it might be Timmy C's year.
Leo was so good in One Battle After Another as well, but I feel like it's probably not his year.
I think Leo's better in this than the one that he won the Oscar for. I also think he's better in several of the other things he was nominated for than the one he won the Oscar for. I am not a huge fan of the one he won the Oscar for.
Which was The Revenant?
The Revenant. I don't think that's a very good movie at all.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. I think it's a great hour and a half movie inside a 3-hour movie.
I can see that.
Yeah. And Leo's fine in it, don't get me wrong, but I actually think he's only the second best performance in the movie. I think Tom Hardy's a better performance.
Sure.
But be that as it may, you know, obviously we've got a lot of time to talk about this, so we're going to take a break and we'll be back with more in just a moment. You're listening to Let's Go Pensacola on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
From a distant thunder, big ships are off the
Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Welcome back to Let's Go Pensacola. I am your host, Julio Diaz. My co-host, Jeremy Branch, is on the line with us. And that's right. If you couldn't guess from that music you just heard, it is, you know, we've got a year left until this movie comes out almost. But the hype is real. The doomsday train has started. We've had now four teaser trailers that have dropped on a weekly basis for Avengers Doomsday, the culmination of the multiverse saga in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. And
which one did I miss, Julio? I saw Thor, Captain America, and the X-Men.
So the one that dropped this week, which is not technically online yet, you are supposed to only be able to see it if you go to theaters and see Avatar Love and Thunder?
Fire and Ash.
Avatar The Last Airbender? No, it's not that one. Fire and Ash, that's what it's called. Which is another movie I need to see and I haven't seen yet. But there's been an ecosystem of these trailers getting leaked online, but they are supposed to be seen on the big screen before Avatar, and they've been dropping a new one each week. So the one they dropped this week shows the Fantastic Four meeting up with the Wakandans and Namor.
I haven't seen that. Okay.
Yeah. So it is, you know, we've had this progression of, you know, each of these tells a little, very small mini story, because these trailers are like, what, 15, 20 seconds long each?
Yeah, they're short.
And, little thing, and then it goes to black, and then you get the white text, so-and-so will return in Avengers Doomsday, which is already becoming a massive internet meme, because it started immediately with the first one that kind of gained traction was 11 will return in Avengers Doomsday, because the confluence of the end of Stranger Things coming with this Doomsday hype starting up.
Sure.
But I've seen a bunch of different ones, and my favorite one so far, which is available on a t-shirt from Screen Crush. They were smart to jump on this right away. And they've done a couple of t-shirts in this line, but they put out one that said somehow Palpatine will return in Avengers Doomsday.
That's pretty good.
Which is, if you know, you know. That's genius. Like, if I'm going to buy a shirt of this meme, that's the one I'm buying.
It's a good one.
Because it's just, and above and beyond that, it's all in the Disney ecosphere, man. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but it ain't without the realm of possibility.
No.
Like, I mean, we're talking about a multiverse that's going to, you know, involve a lot of different things that's owned by one megalithic company. And that megalithic company also owns Star Wars.
Don't I love that for us?
I mean, do you?
No. No, I don't. I have a feeling this is going to be our most contentious segment, and we do this out of love. We do it because we love this stuff and we love each other. But Julio, the X-Men have been ending since The Last Stand. They did a Green Day "Hope You Had the Time of Your Life" send off in the last movie. Why are we dragging these 100-year-old actors out to play cartoon characters when they could be doing anything else?
Two reasons. One, Deadpool and Wolverine aside, because that's not really an ending for the X-Men. I know there was that whole, the Green Day thing that you mentioned, the montage that was kind of bidding farewell to that era of films, but it was not really an ending for those characters.
And obviously,
and the previous endings that we got for those characters sucked.
Logan was incredible.
Logan was incredible. It's an incredible ending for Logan.
Days of Future Past was incredible.
But that wasn't really an ending. If anything, that was a new start.
I guess. It seems like First Class was the new start.
Well, yeah, First Class was a new start because they botched the previous ending so bad with Last Stand.
Yeah, which was, look, dude, Magneto and Charles, and I understand it's the beauty of their relationship, or Eric and Charles, I should say, is that they are old friends, but this whole one last ride, we've got to go into this together to stop the extinction of mutants and the X-Mansion has been destroyed. We've seen this so many times.
But what we're seeing here, Jeremy, is not the X-Mansion being destroyed. We're seeing the universe, that entire Fox X-Men world ending.
Oh my God, I hate this so much.
And aside from that, let's put all of that aside. Dude, that last shot of Cyclops. Cyclops, who has never gotten his just due in these movies, who has been an afterthought in every single one of these movies when he should be a central character, who never got to wear the screen accurate costume that he's getting to wear in this trailer.
In the year 2000, he said, "What would you prefer, us in yellow spandex?"
Yes, and
so
that was stupid.
Put him in yellow spandex to kill him. He's not going to be the main guy in this cast.
First of all, it's not yellow; it's blue. But
whatever.
Second of all, that was stupid to begin with. That was Brian Singer being a snot about the source material.
It's been so long. I understand why that like Matrix inspired stuff doesn't work for a lot of people. But I think I can speak on behalf of both of us. We loved those X-Men, despite the fact that it was a reinterpretation of them.
We can speak on behalf of me if you're talking about the first two movies. But even then, I have qualms.
Is putting him in the blue and yellow costume so he can die in this movie going to do something better for the legacy, or would have recasting the X-Men and giving us a fresh start been a way of reinvigorating the franchise?
But that's what we're going to get, Jeremy.
Yeah, so then why bother to put him in the freaking suit in the first place?
Because these two movies, Doomsday and Secret Wars, are the culmination of everything that's come before.
Because
everything.
They don't have faith in the franchise anymore.
Well, no, because it's time to get a fresh start. But they've got to you can't get a fresh start without ending what you're already doing.
They've already done that so many times. Sam gives Captain America or Steve Rogers the shield back and says, "All lives matter," after the ending of that freaking Falcon and Winter Soldier show. It is infuriating to me.
I don't think that's what's going to happen, but it remains to be seen. I'm going to backtrack a little bit on what I just said, in that you can't have a fresh start without ending what you're already doing, and I think maybe James Gunn is kind of putting the lie to that a little bit over on the DC side. But on the other hand, it is a situation where some things are staying in canon. And I don't know if that's what we're going to get at Marvel. If once we're done with Secret Wars and Doomsday, if everything's going to start over, or if it's going to be a pick and choose, some from column A, some from column B kind of situation. What I do know is that this is pretty much a hard end for all the Fox stuff. At this point,
it feels to me they don't have confidence in building their fan base anymore, and instead they're just trying to wring the last bit of nostalgia out of their pre-existing fans, and I don't like that.
Why can't it be both?
Why can't
they want the nostalgia dollars and go and want to do something creative? I mean, it can be both.
You're absolutely right, and your point about James Gunn absolutely stands. It is okay to pick and choose.
Yeah, and I would argue that with regard to the X-Men in particular, yes, I love the X-Men. Yes, I love a lot of those actors in those roles. Yes, they were not necessarily very well served by all of those movies. And yes, we know that once we're through this, we know for a fact there's a fresh start coming. We know for a fact that they're recasting these characters and that there's going to be a new X-Men movie within a few years. It's going to be directed by the same guy that did Thunderbolts. And that we don't even know who the team members are going to be.
So what if they put Scott in that black suit with the yellow X on the front of it this time. That would have really spoken to the comic book fans so that they can save the comic accurate Scott for the next iteration of the X-Men.
Okay, well, there is more than one different comics accurate costume. I think in particular what they're going for here is X-Men 97.
Jim Lee, right?
Yeah, and that's the mm-hmm. costume we see James Marsden in this trailer.
Mm-hmm.
It is, you know, they're very much going for evoking that because, frankly, that is the greatest adaptation to other media of the X-Men that we have ever seen. Period. Full stop.
I like it a lot.
You know, so yeah, they're going to evoke that as much as they possibly can. Do I think they're going to do all of it? Do I think we're going to have like a complete, like, do I think it's going to be that team? No, because I think X-Men 97 is going to continue. And it's going to continue off in its own little corner of the world without being part of the multiverse. And it'll be, you know, for if it was DC, we'd call it Elseworlds.
I know I'm yucking your yum, and I do want to say there's a lot of things I'm excited about the movie. I'm very precious to X-Men as far as the comics go, much more than the Avengers. As far as the movies go, I'm a diehard Avengers fan, and I'm here for it. I just, you know me, I got to question some of the choices being made.
Well, I wanted to talk about the trailer release strategy, but we ran out of time. So we'll be back next week, guys. You're listening to Let's Go Pensacola on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.